Well, these three Sundays, today and the next two Sundays, I'm going to be looking at just some passages from the New Testament that kind of stand out to me. Maybe passages that you've heard mentioned many, many times. And sometimes it's good to take a fresh look. And this was refreshing for me. And I realized I only gave Deanna just verse 28 of Romans chapter 8. But when I go through it, I'm going to add verses 29 and 30. So if you want to use your Bible there in the pew, or if you have your own Bible, you can follow along. But I do want to focus first and primarily on verse 28 of Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. That's a beautiful verse. But it's a verse that has been largely abused in many different ways through Christian history. Many people have this view, and maybe you've said it yourself. When something bad happens, we think, well, there must have been a purpose. Have you ever heard people say that? Must have been a purpose that that happened. Must have been a reason that that person died. God must have a greater reason. Or sometimes we'll say, well, I'm still here, so God must have a purpose for me. The interesting thing I find about that when we hear people say it, and I think we've all said it at one time or another probably, is that we don't follow up. It's just something to say to kind of help us get through whatever challenge or sorrow we're dealing with at the moment. Because we don't often decide, oh, there must be a purpose, so I better find out what it is. Well, no, we don't usually go looking for what the purpose is. It's just something we say. We say, well, there must have been a reason for this to happen, but we don't look for the reason. I think it's largely because oftentimes, and more often than not, maybe most of the time, when bad things happen, there is no reason. There is no purpose. Because we need to remember that when God created this world, He gave Adam and Eve choice, and because of their choice, sin entered the world. God cursed this earth. And so bad things happen. We all commit sin. We all have evil that lives within us because of our sinful nature. Bad things happen all around us. People get into car accidents. People commit murder. All kinds of things go on in this world that impact us. We live, we get sick, we suffer, we die. That's life in this world. And there's no way around that. But the tendency for some is to blame God for everything. And indeed, Scripture shows us that when God's carrying out a specific plan for His overall plan of salvation for us, God has done specific things. And He's treated Israel with certain punishments. But please note, nowhere in Scripture does it say God made Israel sin. God doesn't make anyone do anything evil. Wouldn't it be terrible if God was the type of God who said, I'm going to make you do something bad, and then I'm going to challenge you to repent for doing what I just made you do. And then it's up to me to decide whether you repent or not. And if you don't repent, I'm going to throw you away for doing what I made you do. Our God's not like that. Our God is one who came revealing His will through the prophets, ultimately through Jesus Christ and then His disciples, His apostles, that we might know God and His love for us and know that we are in a world where bad things happen because of sin. Sometimes things we cause ourselves, sometimes things other people cause, sometimes things that people did years ago that still impact us. And then there's just the natural things. People die in floods. People get hit by lightning. You know, we all know how dangerous it is to be on the highway. We know that not all home lives are what they ought to be because there's sin. And so in all of this, we struggle to find reason. But only we as Christians know the reason that bad things happen. It's because of sin, but God works for us. That's what this verse 28 says. We see, literally it says we see. The word, it's usually translated know in our English versions, but literally it means we see. We see it. It's not just something we kind of accept up here in the brain or in our brain, but we see. We see God at work in all things. Now, that doesn't mean God makes all things happen. It means that in all things that go on, God is there. Nothing happens without God's awareness. Nothing happens without God being involved in our lives. And when things happen, God's there to deal with us. Just like we as parents are there for our children, but we're not making the bad things they go through happen, you know, but we're there for them. And likewise, God's there for us to work for us in everything. So in all the good that happens in our lives, our God is there with us. And all the bad things that happen in our lives, our God is there with us. There's never a moment of any day where we are outside of His thoughts. Our God loves us that much. But He works for the good. Notice, He works for the good. So when bad things happen, God is there to bring some good. Whatever the evil is, in and of itself is not good. And some of the results of that may not be good, but God is there to do good for us. I think about the people who suffered in the first century for Christ, who were persecuted and abused and mutilated and killed, eaten by lions and whatever else that the poor Christians went through. What good did God do for them? Just what He does for everyone who goes through life's struggles and holds on to Him, our faith grows. Our trust in Him, if you paid attention to the songs we sang this morning, especially the first two hymns, they remind us that we go through struggles, but our God is always with us. And I think when we go through struggles, our reliance upon God is supposed to grow. Now, that's our decision. We can blame God and shut God out, or we can look to God for the strength and the help we need to grow in our faith. And God can bless us in ways we can't even imagine. This week, as we were visiting our daughter and her family in PEI, Prince Edward Island, Canada, now our two granddaughters have gone through tough times. Malia had cancer when she was 3 years old, leukemia, and now, you know, she still has issues from that. But she's cancer-free, and she has issues she's got to deal with, but she's extremely bright. Extremely bright. And Lydia is autistic. She's in eighth grade this year. And as I watched her and listened to her interact with other people, we met a university professor from the University of PEI at church last Sunday. And as he and Lydia interacted, it was amazing to watch. Lydia is so smart and so analytical that she's even developed her own private written language. I asked her to write something down for me one day while we were having ice cream. PEI in the summertime, everybody eats ice cream. I mean, there are hundreds of ice cream places and they're all busy. And I said, well, write something for me. And she, it looked to me like hieroglyphics, but she, in 30 seconds, she had two full lines written. I said, well, what does that say? And she told me. She has ways of understanding and knowing. She's very analytical. I texted her yesterday to find out how her first 2 days of school went. And she said, pretty fair. But then she went on, and I didn't quite grasp what she's talking about. But there's something about the way between classes is designed for the structure of their building. They're doing it wrong. But she has a mind. She's going to excel. She's teaching herself sign language. She sings worship not only verbally but by sign language. She's 13. See, the point being that sometimes when bad things happen to us, when we have health problems or whatever, we always need to look for what God is doing in our lives. Our life is not to be feeling good all the time and being healthy and having no problems. That comes in eternity. But here, it's everything we go through. Paul calls it God disciplining us. He lets us go through our struggles so that we can learn and grow. We do that with our own children, don't we? We let them learn some things through struggle and the hard way. And some things we can't protect them from. But God treats us in a way to help us to learn and grow in relationship with Him, to become stronger people in faith, stronger people in Christ. Because believe me, as we all know, we're all going to leave this world one day, unless Jesus comes first. We're all going to face death. And the question is, are we ready for that? God is preparing us to be ready for that step into eternity. Because death is not the end for us. Death is just the step into the next glorious aspect of what God has planned for you and me. And so all the things that go on, God's there to bring some good for us. And oftentimes that good is just making us stronger, making our trust in Him grow. And we just sang about that. But notice also what it says here. He works for the good of those who love Him. That means God doesn't work for the good of everybody. I think that's why we see so much evil in this world, because God's not working for them. They are the enemies of God. They are the ones who have no use for God. Now, God's job is He's trying to reach people to bring them to Him. But why should He bless them in their sin and their evil? He's not going to do that. They're not going to grow and mature in Christ because they don't want Christ. But we who love God, He's going to continue working to build us as individual Christians, to strengthen us in our faith, no matter what we face. Because you know, just like you buy a new car, runs great for a while, doesn't it? But then after a while, you got to take it in for an oil change. And then after a while, you need new tires. Then after a while, you need some engine work and some brake work. And sometimes you'd be going down the road and you break down. And eventually, it gets to the point where it becomes a bit of a rust bucket. And what are you going to do? You're going to trade it in. You're going to get rid of that car. It's going to be junked. Well, folks, that's our life. In this physical body, my body is becoming rusty. But what's coming is a new body beyond our imagination. When we traded in our, 16-year-old van that had a radio and a CD player and air conditioning. I think it had cruise control. That was it. We traded in for this Subaru Forester. We thought we entered the 21st century. Couldn't believe all the bells and whistles. And it's just a basic model. And I think we get so used to here and what we know and what we see that we forget that what's coming is going to be so much beyond our imagination. And so God's working to get us there. That's the goal, to get us to Him in eternity, to strengthen us and build our faith as we look to Him. So He said, to those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. The word there, called, is not the word, same word that's used elsewhere in the New Testament, not even in the next two verses. The word literally means invited. For those who love Him, who have been invited according to His purpose. His purpose is to seek and save us. And so He invites us to come to Him. That's what He does with the world. He's inviting people to come to Him. And you and I are among those who have accepted that invitation. And so God works for our good. But you read on in verses 29 and 30, Paul wrote, "For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified." That's kind of a fascinating passage there too. It all fits with this about God calling us, inviting us to be with Him. And verses 29 and 30 sum up God's plan. It's a summary, like many other passages in Scripture. For literally it says, "For whom God foreknew." The word foreknew means general knowledge. General knowledge. God knew that the world was going to go on until He brings it to an end. God knew the issues this world was going to face. He knew what sin was going to do with people. He knew how it was going to affect people in general. God foreknew the future. Now, beyond that, we can't be too specific. But God had an overall general knowledge of where all this is going. After all, He created us and He had a plan. So He knows where it's all going. But He also predestined. Now, the word there for predestined is not always the way we hear. I was kind of amazed as I looked at it. It literally means to limit beforehand. To limit beforehand. Those, when God foreknew the overall world and how it was going, God limited beforehand, before Jesus came. He limited those who would be conformed to the image of Jesus. You see, the world's a wild and woolly place. But Jesus is the image of God, and we see the truth of God and the wisdom of God through Christ and through His Word. And so you and I have been, God's plan right from the beginning was to limit us. He had a design to limit us, to be conformed, that is, to bring right along the likeness of Jesus. And the word there for likeness literally means statue. Yeah. We're to look at Jesus, and He is the one we want to be like. And God established how that's supposed to work, what we are supposed to be like as Christians. Nowadays, we call it the New Testament. Everything there is to tell us how to live like Christ. That was God's plan. So that, for this very purpose, that Jesus might be the firstborn among many brothers. That is, Jesus would come and He would die on that cross for us. He would rise again, being the first to rise from the dead, to live forever, so that all who would follow Him thereafter would be able to do the same thing. To rise from the dead when God calls, and to be with the Lord forever and ever. And then He sums up the whole, all of God's plan. To those He limited ahead of time, you know, this is how I want you to be. He called. He called. This is the word for calling. Just calling out to everybody. It's not the specific invitation, but it's calling. Those He called, He also justified. The word there means to render innocent. Didn't mean, oh, yeah, okay, you're good now. You know, everything you did is all right. No, it means now He's declared us innocent. Through His blood, we have forgiveness of sin. And those He has declared innocent, says He also glorified. Now, He's speaking here with confidence because you and I haven't been glorified yet, have we? That's coming the day Jesus comes again and takes us home. This is all about God's plan. God works in everything so He can bring us to Jesus, that we can grow and model Jesus, you know, be like Him. He's the overall model. We're endeavoring to follow, so we model Jesus to the world. And He purifies us of our sin, and He's preparing us for eternity. And that's the thing we need to keep first and foremost. Yeah, God cares about every day and what we go through. God wants us to be responsible. God wants us to plan for retirement. God wants us to plan for our children's education. But first and foremost, God wants us to plan for the day we die and see Him. And everything in our life, God is saying, I'm teaching you, I'm drawing you to trust Me in all things. I will bless you in this life. But first and foremost, I want you to grow in your trust in Me and look forward to eternity. That's the good God's doing. Just imagine if we were pampered all our lives and nothing ever bad ever happened. What would happen? We'd be spoiled rotten and not worthy of eternity. But instead, we learn discipline. We learn trust. We learn responsibility. But we learn to trust God no matter what. And if we suffer for Christ, great is our reward. That's what Jesus promised. If we lose our lives for Him, we have eternity. But if we endeavor to save our lives instead, we lose eternity. Do we ever take that seriously? If we endeavor to save our lives, we lose it for eternity. But if we lose our life for Christ, we gain eternity. That's what Jesus was talking about. I'm here to get you there. Now, we can go in a cooperative way, which is what God wants. That's the whole plan. We can go kicking and screaming, or we can say, as they used to say during the war. I won't quote the whole thing, but no, we won't go. I think there's a four-letter word in there somewhere. And unfortunately, that's the way many people approach God. Even among Christians, my life is all about this world. I'll worry about the next one when it comes. But you know what? When the next one comes, if we aren't ready, we're not going to be part of that next one. God works for our good, not the world's good, our good. And boy, every one of us here can attest, can't we, just how God has blessed us, how He's seen us through the tough times, how He's seen us through times where loved ones have died, how loved ones have gone through struggles, even for our own selves, times of doubt, times of fear. God has always been there, and He's always brought good to us, even amidst the trials and the sorrow. I think that's why James said, count it all joy when you face various trials. I think what he's talking about is, are you looking to God? Are you holding on to Him? Are you trusting Him? And if you are, then it doesn't matter so much what happens to you, because you know who holds your hand and has His arm around you and is preparing you for eternity. Because that's where we want to be. That's where we want to be. Right now we're going to sing the hymn, Amazing Grace. And it's a marvelous hymn. And it does talk here about what we've just been talking about. God's amazing grace. You know, God doesn't really have to care about you and I at all. He doesn't have to. It's not written down anywhere. God doesn't have to. He doesn't owe us one thing. But everything God does is out of love. Seeing us through tough times, that's love. And we exemplify that when we care about each other, when we endeavor to comfort each other. But we know that we all learn and grow, don't we? Through life. None of us are what we were 10 years ago. But we've all grown, and hopefully for the better. And it's all because of God's grace. He offers it to the world, but it's only given to those who come to Him and love Him and trust Him. Let us live in that grace and make the most of it each and every day. Let's stand together, shall we? We're going to sing three verses of this hymn.